Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Today we begin the new church year with the season of Advent. Many people are unaware of the church's season of Advent. And for those who are aware, some think that it's merely preparation for Christmas morning. And it is true that there are gatherings to be planned, presents to be bought, cards to be sent, parties to be planned. But the season of Advent is a season of repentance and hope to keep us focused on what is most important, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word Advent is derived from a Latin word meaning to come. So while some think Advent is all about just a little baby being born in the manger, it really focuses on Christ's coming in three different ways: coming in the past, coming in the present, and coming in the future. Now, if you're like me, perhaps you've had days when you wish Jesus would come really soon, like right now, this afternoon. Okay, maybe tomorrow or next week. Because sometimes it feels like God is absent in our world and the wheels are just flying off of the world. Is anyone in control? We look around and we see worldwide human atrocities, genocide, and war. There are shooting in the streets, shooting in schools, shootings in churches. Open persecution of Christians, public persecution of Christian doctrines of faith. And if you dial in a little closer to home, we have loved ones who are suffering from addiction, from disease, from financial turmoil. There's the sexual immorality and perversions that are so offensive to God that people are celebrating them, and they are ruining our families. There are relationships and marriages and families who are being destroyed. And then if you're lucky enough to live through all those things, perhaps Alzheimer's disease, heart disease, or cancer might be on your horizon. So some days we just want God to come down, rend the heavens and come down and intervene. But as Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. Famous men in history like Moses and Elijah and Job, they all felt the same way. There were times when they were barely hanging on, while it appeared that God was not listening. It appeared that God had abandoned them. And we hear this sentiment in our Old Testament text this morning. God had sent the prophet Isaiah as a watchman over Jerusalem. Normally, watchmen were placed high upon in a watchtower over beautiful cities, valuable cities, like the Jerusalem that King Solomon had built. But the Jerusalem that Isaiah foresees is a future Jerusalem. It is a desolate city that has been gutted by war. Many of its residents have been killed. Others have fled to Egypt. Some deported to Babylon. Those who remain in the city are few. And just like you and me, when we think God is not listening or he has abandoned us, Isaiah cries out to God in prayer that God would destroy all his enemies, all those who have caused destruction upon God's people, his temple. Isaiah wants the perpetrators to tremble in the presence of God. He wants them to receive the Lord's wrath for what they have done. He prays, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, and that the nations might tremble at your presence." Have you ever felt this way? God, come down, punish those people who are persecuting me. Come down, do something with those who are persecuting me and the unbelievers, those who are causing my family so much trouble and strife. Lord, can't you do something about all these people of perversion who are setting bad examples for our children and families and leading them astray? Can't you do something about the evil in the world? But you and I can learn from the watchman's prayer in our text, because suddenly, in mid-prayer, the watchman has what you would call an aha moment, or a eureka moment, as they say. He recognizes that the mess that they're sitting in is not a problem. It's not because of the enemy. It's not the enemy's fault. And it's not God's fault. It's their own fault. The watchman prays, "Behold, you were angry and we sinned. In our sins we have been a long time, and shall we be saved? We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away." The watchman experiences his own season of Advent. He remembers the promises of God the Father, that God would send a Savior, the one who was to come. The watchman comes to God with a repentant heart, asking for forgiveness and reconciliation for all of his nation. He prays, "O Lord, you are our Father, and we are the clay, and you are our potter, and we are the work of your hand." You could say that this is the watchman's aha moment. But more than that, it is your aha moment. Because you and I are no different than those whom we wish God would pour out his wrath upon. You and I are the sinners. You and I are the unbelievers, the persecutors, among the fornicators and the adulterers who cause the trouble and the strife. Isaiah rightly describes you and me that we are repulsive people who are unclean. All of our righteous deeds are as putrid and polluted as filthy rags, the most filthy rag imaginable. And shall we be saved? Well, of course we shall be. By the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, by all means, we are saved. Advent is a season of repentance and hope. The watchman in our text this morning is looking forward to the coming of salvation, the salvation of the Lord, and indeed in God's own time, he delivered his people out of Babylon back into Jerusalem. And he forgave them of all of their unfaithfulness for the sake of the one who was to come, as Isaiah had foretold, the one whom the Lord laid the iniquity of us, the one upon whom the Lord laid the iniquity of us all. And it would be some 500 years later, after God's people returned to Jerusalem at the proper time, that one who was to come would come, born in a manger in Bethlehem. And of course, childbirth is always good news. It's good news and great joy. Family and friends look forward to the child. What is this child going to accomplish in his life? But this wasn't just any ordinary child. This child is the only begotten Son of God who, for us men and for our salvation, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He was made man for us. He is born King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and in him all mankind is blessed. Not just because of his accomplishments in his life, but also his accomplishments in his death. And this is why, on the first Sunday of Advent, we have a Palm Sunday gospel lesson. Advent begins by keeping us focused on what is most important, the cross of Christ Jesus. You see, death was never part of God's plan for anyone, save for one man. Death for this child. This child was born to die. It was God's plan even before the child was born. Our Lord God spoke through the prophet Isaiah, saying, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation." And as you know, these words are prophecy fulfilled as Jesus rides triumphantly into battle. Battle in Jerusalem, seated humbly on the backside of a colt. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." He is the prophet who was foretold, the one who was to come. He is the king that the people have been waiting for. He is the king that you and I so desperately need. Yet as glorious and triumphant as that entry into Jerusalem appeared to be, it was an advent of humility and weakness. Jesus is the king who enters Jerusalem, the place of sacrifice, except he entered to be the sacrifice. He is the king whose throne was a cross, whose crown was made of thorns. He is the king who wages war on behalf of his people, but also on behalf of his enemies. He is the king who rides willingly into the teeth of battle to conquer sin by becoming our sin, so that you might become the righteousness of Christ. He comes to suffer and to die as God's ultimate Passover lamb. Yes, this child is born to die, to literally lay down his life to save the world, to save you and me. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you and I have sins beyond measure, and your righteousness is like filthy rags. Cry out to God in repentance. Cry out and pray with a watchman. Do not be so terribly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. The prophets foretold of the coming Messiah. And indeed, he did come. He came in the past, shedding his blood on the cross to reconcile you with the Father in heaven. And he forgives you of all of your sins, of being among the persecutors, the fornicators, and the adulterers, the sins of causing trouble and strife. He forgives you of all your sins. And he came to you also in baptismal waters, where your putrid and polluted rags were washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. And because of Christ's perfect life and his sacrificial death on your behalf on Calvary's cross, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall become like wool. God is not absent. He comes among you today. While it seems that he is absent, he comes to you right here today, wherever his word is proclaimed. He comes to you in the promises he made you in holy baptism. He comes in his words of absolution. He comes to you in his body and blood, given and shed in his holy supper. All of these things, his means of grace to sustain you in the true faith until the last day, in the future, when he will come again, coming in glory to raise the living and the dead unto eternal life with him in heaven. So until that day, repent in repentance and hope. You come to God asking for forgiveness and reconciliation. You can pray, O Lord, you are my Father, I am the clay, and you are my potter, and I am the work of your hand. And indeed, you are not only the work of the Father's hand. Scripture also teaches us that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Just as Jesus came into the world not to be served, but to serve, as a baptized believer in Christ, you are given the tools and the wisdom and the freedom to now serve others, serve and love others with your works and your deeds, just as God in Christ serves and loves you. It's not something you do on your own. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit, a regeneration in baptism. The power of the Holy Spirit is no longer you who lives, but Christ who lives in you. And you no longer have to conform to this evil world, living as an enemy of God, because God has given you the tools to live a new and virtuous life. As Paul writes in our epistle text, in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as a testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you until the end, guiltless, in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus will sustain you, and his grace and peace is with you until his coming again on the last day. Whether he comes today, tomorrow, next week, or in 100 years, God's grace and peace are yours. One for you, paid with Jesus' precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. Peace is a free gift to you for the sake of Jesus. And it's the peace that Christ has saved you and has reconciled you back with the Father. And during this Advent and every day of your life, you can await in grace and peace for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in glory on the last day to take you home to live with him in eternity. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.